Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 16. So Vishvajanma Stiti Samyamarte. Kritavatara Pragrahita Shakti. Chakara karmanye ati purushani. Yanishvara kirtaya tani mahyam. Saha, the personality of Godhead. Vishva, universe. Janma, creation. Stiti, maintenance. Samyama arte, with a view to perfect control. Krita, accepted. Avatara, incarnation. Pragrihita, accomplished with. Shaktihi, potency. Chakara, performed. Karmani, transcendental activities. Atipurushani, superhuman. Jani, all those. Ishvaraha, the Lord. Kirtaya, please chant. Tani, all those. Mahiyam, unto me. Kindly chant all those superhuman transcendental activities of the Supreme Controller, the Personality of Godhead, who accepted incarnations fully equipped with all potency for the full manifestation and maintenance of the cosmic creation. Purport. Vidura was undoubtedly very eager to hear about Lord Krishna in particular, but he was overwhelmed because Lord Krishna had just passed away from the visible world. He therefore wanted to hear about him in his Purusha incarnations, which he manifests with full potencies for the creation and maintenance of the cosmic world. The activities of the Purusha incarnations are but an extension of the activities of the Lord. This hint was given by Vidura to Maitreya because Maitreya could not decide which part of the activities of Lord Krishna should be chanted. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukkam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatayanam. An explanation is provided here as to why Vidura was requesting topics of the Purusha avatars. As opposed to, say, Rasalila. Right? Prabhupada often comments that neophyte devotees who think themselves more advanced than they really are immediately jump to the intimate Vrindavan Leela pastimes of Krishna. Thinking that those very intimate dealings between Krishna and the gopis are the pinnacle. Of course they are. They're the topmost intimate and esoteric. You know what esoteric means? What's that? Outrageous. Not sure whether outrageous fits within the definition of esoteric. What's esoteric mean? Although they are hard to understand. Esoteric means, you know, hidden or secret or mysterious. Yeah, they're not. You know, it's quite straightforward what's going on in the Rasa Leela. In one sense, it's not rocket science. But to understand it from the transcendental platform and not see it from the mundane platform, that's the difference. And to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna as being an interaction of the internal potency of the Lord, the problem is that one will misidentify with oneself and one's physical self, the material body, the identification with the material body, and self-identification with the activities of Radha and Krishna. Just turn my phone off. So, Prabhupada makes the point that all of Krishna's pastimes, all of the activities of Krishna within the Srimad Bhagavatam are like sugar. So it doesn't matter where you taste them, they are going to taste sweet. Right? Doesn't matter where you taste them. It's all sweet. So one might think, what's the reverb set to on this thing? You don't know. There's a number of settings on there in a dial. Not that many. There's a dial which says reverb, right? Over to the right, in the middle. And there's different settings, room setting, this setting, that setting. It's in the middle of the board. Is it better like that? No, tell me what the names of the setting is on. Tell me what some of the other ones are. No, it's not level. There's a setting there which sets the reverb and it's for different room settings. Hall, auditorium. What's it said on now? No, don't put them all to minimum. Put them all straight 12 o'clock. Okay. Now, but look at in the middle there, there's a reverb setting. It's what's it called? Which one? Reverb all two. Just tell me some of the other ones there. Just give us whole. Yeah, no echo. Take the echo out. Give us the hall. Just a standard hall. You just turn it around. It's not... I don't know. Hare Krishna. Turn it up a little bit. Turn the level up. I can't even hear myself. Esoteric. What's esoteric, Prabhu? Volume up just a little bit. Hare Krishna. Oh, there we go. There I am. Thank you. At least I can hear myself now. And it's not got that funny echo in it, that thin echo. Prabhu. Yes. It's like a secret. It's a secret. Rajaguyam. It's the most intimate secret of devotional service, which ultimately is, you know, pleasing Krishna. What is most satisfying for Krishna? People with a materialistic bent approach Krishna's pastimes with an eye for enjoying them themselves, and so therefore they tend to go to the Rasa Leela, because you know who doesn't want to hear about saucy stories about young boys and young girls, huh? But that's to miss the point. The activities of Krishna are all beyond the realm of material designation. It's purely an interaction of the, as I said, of the internal spiritual potency of the Lord. But that's misunderstood by those with a mundane influence, influence of the material energy. Whereas, and so therefore, the activities of Krishna in creating the material universes might be seen by such persons as material activities. Oh, he's just creating the material world. What's that got to do with spirituality? But Vidura was feeling such a sense of loss from Krishna and his family, friends and relatives, the Yadavas, they'd all just gone back to the spiritual world. And so therefore, the pain of hearing the intimate pastimes of Krishna, the personal pastimes of Krishna, was too much for Vidura. And so therefore, he chose a topic which was still pure and transcendental, but not directly describing Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, you know, the original Krishna. So he's choosing a topic that would be transcendentally inspiring and what's the word, soothing. But that wasn't too close to Krishna himself that he would feel the pain of separation and would lament, naturally enough, because he's a close associate of Krishna and the Yadavas. So there's a couple of lessons to be learnt from this example. One is that one shouldn't imitate the activities of very advanced transcendentalists. This is a very important point. One shouldn't jump to esoteric topics such as the Rasa-lila without having a thorough understanding, first of all, that we're not the body, that we're spirit soul. This is the first full understanding of Krishna consciousness that we should thoroughly understand in depth, that we're not the body, that we're a spirit soul. It's the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And in one sense, we could say, well, that hasn't got anything to do with Krishna. Right? There's no direct connection with Krishna. And so therefore, we might misunderstand this point also as not being fully transcendental. You know, it's just the ABCs. Right? And everybody knows that we're not the body. Right? Everybody here knows that we're not the body. Anybody who doesn't know that we're not the body. Right? Of course, we've all heard that we're not the body. But that doesn't mean that we're necessarily acting on the platform of we're not the body. Right? There's a difference between, as we've discussed many times, there's a difference between hearing the information and absorbing it, digesting it, and then putting it into practice. This is the jnan and the vijnan. Understanding the theoretical and then being able to apply the theoretical and put it into practice. This is the realm of the brahmanas. The realm of the brahmanas. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam. The learned personalities. And this is one of the reasons why we need to hear this point, actually, over and over again. We need to be thoroughly conversant with the basics of spiritual understanding before we venture into the realm of the esoteric pastimes of Rasa-lila. In fact, you know, we see in Prabhupada's presentations very often, or most often, basic presentation of Krishna consciousness, even to his disciples, even to his most intimate disciples. Lord Chaitanya didn't discuss these topics in public. He kept it very basic for the masses, which is most of us. There's that story that Yogeshwar Das mentions about Srila Prabhupada on his visit to Paris. And the devotees went to the United Nations headquarters for an interfaith meeting. And they gave all of the people who attended books, a book which had poetry of Chandidas and Vidyapati, who are these were poets studied by Lord Chaitanya. And Yogeshwara gave Srila Prabhupada a copy of, gave the copy that they received to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked at it and was reading it, and then he said, "What is the use of such a book? Who's going to benefit from this book? Because it's about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna." And Yogeshwara made the comment that at least Srila Prabhupada could, you know, relish these pastimes, and he said, "I regretted that I did." And he made a comment that on three or four occasions he made the mistake of trying to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And then he regretted that he did, because Prabhupada then became very, very humble and said, "I wish, you know, I wish that I could understand the pastimes." But then Prabhupada made the point that these pastimes are so intimate and elevated. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wanted to make a copy of the poetry of was it Gita Govinda? And he went to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and asked permission if he could publish these poems. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "No, they're too elevated." And Prabhupada also made the point that, you know, we're preaching the four regulative principles, you know, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. If we publish books like this, it'll just confuse people. Because here's the most intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and it looks like we're promoting illicit sex. You know, here's a young boy having an affair with a young girl who's already married to another man, if you boil it down to its, you know, external essence, right? So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur then went back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur later and said, you know, asked him again, you know, "Can I print this book?" And Bhakti, because, you know, this is essential elements of Krishna culture, if you like. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur again said no. It's not. Then a third time he went to see him, he said, "All right, you can print it, but only one copy and for yourself." Right? So later on, Srila Prabhupada was having his massage, and Yogeshwara came up to sit with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was having his massage, but he was reading the book at the same time. And then he said to Yogeshwara, he said, "How about this?" And then he read, "If you really love me, then please wrap your legs around me." Right? This is ready for the book. And he said, "What do you think?" "What do you think about this?" And Yogeshwara said, he paid his obeisances. Prabhupada had a, you know, cheeky kind of look on his face. And he said, I paid my obeisances and crawled out of the room backwards." So, you know, there are topics that we could easily be bewildered by. Unless and until we're firmly situated in the understanding that we're not the body, the basics, and until we've really reached that stage of bhava bhakti, which means our devotional service is pure-hearted, and that we're completely free from this bodily identification, then we should be cautious in our trying to approach the very elevated topics of rasa lila, and we should learn to appreciate and relish all of the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and be able to enjoy and relish the activities of Krishna, even in such apparently mundane activity like creating the material universe. Because creating the material universe gives us an appreciation of the potencies, of the power, of the purpose even of Krishna in creating the material world. And that actually it has a spiritual purpose. All of Krishna's activities have a purpose for uplifting, for elevation. And that's another reason why we should be careful of approaching those topics, which could be an impetus for degradation because of that material perspective. So Vidura selects a topic for hearing which he'll relish just as much as any other topic, but in this case he's chosen the pastimes of Krishna that are not directly his personal lila, but rather an expansion of his, who's just as powerful, just as potent, because he mentions here, his Prabhupada mentions here, the activities of the Purusha incarnations are but an extension of the activities of the Lord. Right? And it's mentioned here. Chakara karman yati purushani. Right? Ati purushani, superhuman. Fully equipped with all potency for the full manifestation and maintenance of the cosmic creation. So, you know, the activities of the creation are essential for us to understand. It's a beginning understanding of the activities of the personality of Godhead, but we have to understand these very, very basics before we jump to the elevated and esoteric, very important. So therefore, we find these topics at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We find them in the first canto, we find them in the second canto, now again repeated in the third canto. How does the material creation come about? It's repeated a number of times, so that we can understand the very, very basic purpose of the Lord in creating the material world. It's ultimately meant for our liberation. It's for our bondage, if you like. But the material creation is not just for keeping everybody trapped in the material world. It's actually designed to get us out, to bring us to the spiritual platform. But because we have this bodily identification, we're attracted to that of the material world. So we get an appreciation of the greatness of God, but also of his magnanimity. That he's all-powerful and that he creates the material creation in such a way so that we're caught up within it. But at the same time, out of his magnanimity, he appears within it, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gives us an opportunity to reawaken our original spiritual identity as his servant and get out of the material creation. Therefore, he comes. Jamma kama chame divyam, and performs his transcendental activities in order to attract us so that we'll want to get out of the material world. And so therefore these discussions between Vidura and Maitreya appear early on in the Srimad Bhagavatam so that we can get a full appreciation of the transcendental potencies of the Lord on our journey to the more intimate pastimes of the Lord, which appear within the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So does anybody have any comments or questions? It's all part of the. It's all part of the same topic. But that's only a small part. In one, well, not a. It's quite a big part, but well, at least from our perspective. But there are many, many other pastimes in the Bhagavatam. Where we see the Lord and his interaction with the devotees. Personal, you know, his personal dealings. So he creates the material creation, right? But then, and so that's wonderful, you know, that's wondrous or wonderful in and of itself. You know, he basically, what does the Lord do when he wants to create the material world? What does he do? If you want to, yeah, goes to sleep. Now, if you want to do something really big, going to sleep is not an option, right? So when the Lord wants to create something big, what does he do? He goes to sleep and dreams about a dream, has a dream, right? So, you know, his activities and efforts are quite entertaining or, you know, informative. But more wonderful is the fact that after he's created the material universes, then he comes into it himself. But yet he's not obliged to, like we are. We're obliged to come into the material world and suffer. Right? As much enjoyment as we think we're going to have, that's the amount of suffering we're going to create for ourselves, right? So he wants us to get out of that cycle of bhoga tyag, right? Enjoyment and suffering. So therefore he comes into the material creation and sets up these various leelas or activities, pastimes, to teach us or to demonstrate to us how the activities and relationships between the Lord and his devotees are superior to the activities that we tend to engage in on a mundane level. They appear to be the same in many respects, but that transcendental connection or that personal connection with the Lord, that intimate personal connection to the Lord and the demonstration of that and even the description of those activities is very attractive, especially for the devotees. As I just mentioned previously, when the devotees hear about the pastimes of Krishna, then automatically their attachment to material activities, material pleasures is reduced. So it begins with the creation, but then there's more, you know, to that. But it's all part of Krishna's pastimes. It's all connected to Krishna, and so therefore not of the mundane, not of the mundane, but of the supramundane. if we can understand all of these topics, and there's many of them, that's the Bhagavatam's actually quite a... You know, I remember going to my friend's place and seeing the Bhagavad Gita, and I thought, wow, that's pretty... That's, look at that big book. Right? How do you read that? And you know, for us, actually, the Bhagavad Gita is actually a small book. Right? But I hadn't really associated with the devotees very much, and I saw the, you know, those book stands that are like that. And it was sitting in his room, and I thought, ooh, that's pretty cool. Hadn't seen such a thing before. And a big book, and I thought, wow, what's that? He said, oh, it's the Bhagavad Gita. I said, whoa. But then, you know, when I saw the Bhagavatam, 60,000 verses, I thought, oh, God, how do you read that book? It's huge. And especially, you know, the first verse with a purport of 10 pages. So it's almost like, I was thinking, how come Prabhupada made it so hard to read the Bhagavatam? You can't even get through the first verse. It's such an obstacle to read it and then understand it, digest it. So, initially, it may appear as it may appear challenging, or certainly for me, it appeared a challenge to understand just the Bhagavad Gita. Read the Bhagavad Gita, it's such a huge book. But then to explore all of the pastimes of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, in one sense, it's a lifetime study. It's a study of a lifetime, and then a Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, to read these books and to fully understand the subtle nuances of the pastimes of the Lord requires a little bit of effort and consistent effort. It's, you know, we're recommended to constantly hear and glorify the Lord. Satatam kirtayanto mam. This is a qualification of the devotees. They're always chanting Krishna's glories. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Yes, what are you going to do? It is. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. It's not understood by many. That's Manushyanam Sahasreshu. Kaschid Yatiti Sat. What is it? Kaschid Yati Satatam, is it? No. Yeah, it's out of many thousands amongst men, hardly one knows the truth, that is, that you're not the body. So it's rare. Even we as devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna and engaged in devotional service sometimes forget that we're not the body. And our motivations then become influenced by material considerations, by attachments, anattas. So therefore we have to learn how to extract the anattas and concentrate on pure devotional service. It's easy to just get the mechanical part of devotional service down, right? You know what I mean by the mechanical part? You know, we put tilak on, we shave our heads, we wear robes, right? And then we think, yeah, now I'm a Hare Krishna. But we could still be pursuing a material agenda without knowing it. The anattas sometimes appear very much like the bhakti lata beads, the devotional creeper. But because of there being material contamination, it tends those activities, they look the same as devotional service, but they actually choke up the creeper. So even in devotional service, we have to be careful because there can be the pursuance of name, fame, glory. Same old story. Huh? Whereas Lord Chaitanya prays, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Jamani Ishvari Bhavatad Bhakti Ohitiki Twai. But I want unmotivated devotional service. Nadanam, no wealth. Najanam, no followers. Nasundari, not beautiful women. He prays like that. That's our. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur warns us in the Madhurya Kadambini, that there are anattas that can arise as a result of the performance of devotional service. So there are anattas that are only meant for the devotees. Just like Maya has two potencies. She's got the covering potency. That's the one that keeps most people away from, Krishna. Because they're so absorbed in all of the, all the things that they're doing. But she has a special potency for the devotees. The pulling down potency. Huh? There's the covering potency. There's just everybody's in ignorance. And that's fine. But then when somebody wakes up, whoa, I'm in the wrong place. They try to get out. And Maya also has a pulling down potency. Right? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, here's how we can remain trapped in the material conception of life, even though we're following the process of devotional service. So you can be chanting Hare Krishna, for lifetimes and still not get out. So therefore, in Isopanishad, it's recommended we need to know asat and sat together. Sat, asat. We need to understand that what is permanent, but we also need to know what's impermanent so that we can discriminate. Devotional service means using our intelligence to discriminate between what's correct and what's not. So, what was your question? thinking we're not the body. Is it important? We need to thoroughly realise that basic point. Following the devotional principles, not becoming too familiar, and also not being trapped into thinking we're so advanced. Because the position of a devotee is, I'm, like one devotee was complaining to my wife the other day, why am I being punished? That's not the mood of a devotee. The mood of a devotee is, I'm being punished and I'm lucky. But I'm just getting a token of what I deserve. Right? That's the mentality. Why am I suffering? I'm a pure devotee. Huh? So that's a servant, basically. Learning how to be a servant. And especially learning how to be a servant of the servants. That's tests our realizations and our sincerity. Prabhu.
I was just thinking of the start
Well, Prabhupada made it look easy. Because it is a simple process, and Prabhupada made it look easy, but it's interesting to see after Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur left, chaos. And even after Prabhupada left, there was initially ISKCON took off with a bang, right? But then after, you know, 5 or 6 years, there were problems, because there were devotees thought that, you know, being a guru was being like Prabhupada. So there was somewhat of an imitation of Prabhupada, and those devotees who were imitating him basically fell down. In reality, that's what happened. So it is easy and it is simple, but not that easy and possibly too simple, because we like to complicate things. It's hard for us to stick to the simple practice of being a servant. Yeah, keep it simple, really simple. You know, in one sense, it's not such a big deal that a person is a guru. We're all supposed to be like that. But yet what we tend to do is, oh, the guru. Whoa. Okay, Prabhupada was like that, certainly. But in one sense, and that's, you know, we see that in the fact that he brought Krishna consciousness to the West. Nobody else was able to do that. And he did it by himself, which is not the recommended process, actually. You know, we're meant to be in the association of devotees. We're meant to serve the devotees. Prabhupada came by himself. But then what did he do? He created the association of the devotees. Right? He created the association. And he valued all of the devotees. He appreciated all of those disciples. So on the one hand, we have to honour and respect, you know, that principle of the parampara, and the guru is worshipable. But at the same time, we have to balance that with the simple practice of devotional service and the requirements of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And you know, basically putting Prabhupada first. That's quite a challenge. It can be a challenge. We've seen it's been a challenge for us. Yeah. Yes.
But I have heard that it's really important to have a really one time guru.
The question was, we're encouraged to imbibe the mood of our guru, and we're taught that we should imbibe the mood of Srila Prabhupada. But how do we balance that with imbibing the mood of our spiritual master? Well, that's why we teach the disciple course, and why we should be emphasizing everybody's relationship with Srila Prabhupada, because we should be able to discern the mood of Srila Prabhupada within the mood of his disciples and within all of the followers of ISKCON. That should be our predominant mood of being a servant of Prabhupada. And so our spiritual master should be exemplifying that mood of service to Prabhupada. It's the same thing. They're not different. How's that sound? Yeah. And how should that manifest? You don't know. How should that manifest? What's the one of the first principles of working under Srila Prabhupada? Yes, under who?
GBC.
Yep, got it. That's how you can tell. It's not complicated. And most of the devotees in ISKCON are doing that to one degree or another. That's what keeps us together. That's what binds us and keeps us focused. So it is a challenge because, you know, we have all of these individuals, us included, who want to... Like I was listening to Prabhupada yesterday. Prabhupada was saying, I'm an individual and you're an individual. I disagree with you, you disagree with me. Right? That's okay. He said, that's the nature of being, that we're all individuals. So we have so many individuals and they all want to do, we all want to do different things. Right? Is that a fact? Each one of us has a different personality and a different inclination. But we put aside that. We put aside our personality or our individuality, if you like, to work cooperatively. That's the real test of spiritual advancement. Especially for a Madhyamadikari. I've said this many times. Madhyamadikari's characteristic that is he makes friends with the devotees. Now, that means we're going to have disagreements and disputes. Right? You want to serve Krishna this way, I want to serve Krishna that way. Right? So, what we do is we put aside our differences and we say, okay, we're all servants of Srila Prabhupada. We're all going to work cooperatively under Prabhupada's instructions. We take the authority structure of ISKCON. We take the authority of the GBC. We accept the authority of the local ISKCON leaders as being Prabhupada's representatives. And so therefore we work cooperatively with them. So we put aside our personal motivations, and we make our motivation one that's going to please Prabhupada. Whether we're a guru or not, that's what we do. Right? And how do we do that? We sit down and we talk about, well, here's our strategy, here's what we're going to do, what do you think? So it's not like we just come in and say, okay, you know, I'm the authority, you just do what I do, tell you to do. But a reasonably, you know, I could say a good leader will come and ask the devotees, what do you want to do? And then try to put a team together based on what we need to do and based on what people are good at doing. Right? And that's what the guru will do as well. He'll look at the psychophysical nature of the devotee and he'll say, okay, here's how you should do your devotional service. Right? You're an artist. Okay. Be an artist. Right? Otherwise, for an artist, being anything else is extremely painful. Isn't it? Rasa? Yeah. Right? You got to keep an artist painting or whatever. They got to create. Right? If you don't take advantage of that creative potency in that person, then watch out. They'll be popping out all over the place in all variety of ways. So better to encourage them, right? So that's, you know, trying to keep the unity in diversity, but remembering what the unity, you know, in one sense, it could be said within ISKCON, we've emphasised the diversity bit. Fair enough. Now it's time to bring the unity back in. Do you know what I mean? But we've got to balance the two together. So that's why we have, you know, Prabhupada as the centre. So they go together. They do go together, though. Prabhu?
Yeah.
Yeah, practical things. Prabhupada would, you know, when Balaram tells that story, how Prabhupada asked him, what, two things, was it? Will you be able to maintain the three-man artis? Right? Will you be able to maintain the three-man artis? Will you be able to distribute the Sunday feast regularly? Will you be able to do the Sunday feast? You know, Prabhupada's formula was free prasadam distribution. Interesting. Questions. You know, maintain the deity worship, keep up the prasadam distribution. That's what I've tended to focus on here in Melbourne. I think that's, you know, that's an important part of our focus. Keep the deity worship, you know, at a very high standard. Very important. Oh, another a story that I heard the other day. Interesting story. I was talking about this with Kasturika. Prabhupada didn't consider the movement as such to have started in 26 Second Avenue. He told Brahmananda. He considered the movement to have started when they purchased the property in La Cienega Boulevard in Los Angeles and installed the deities. That's when Prabhupada considered the movement had started. So, you know, deity worship is an integral part of Prabhupada's preaching. And that's the movement, that's the Hare Krishna movement. The 26 Second Avenue, he just considered that a preaching center. So that's an interesting point. We obviously have to have the preaching centers. But to really train and educate the devotees, you need the deities. We need the deities. It's the Bhagavat Vidhi with the Pancharatrika Vidhi. We need the two together, Prabhupada says. And then Rupa Goswami says, they're like, well, no, they didn't have railway trains in Rupa Goswami's time. But Prabhupada gives the example of the railway track. If the train is to run smoothly to the next station, then the tracks have to be in line. They have to be there together. So that he likened the Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the preaching side, and the Pancharatrika Vidhi, the worship of the deities, as the two tracks that keep a devotee's devotion, you know, on track. So very important, high standard of deity worship, because that keeps us all then very pukka. You know, that routine, going to Mangalartik and worshipping Tulsi and chanting the japa, greet the deities in the morning, do Guru Puja, hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, within all of those activities. They're the simple activities in one sense of Krishna consciousness. In those activities is the Panchanga Bhakti, which means the five elementary practices of devotional service that give rise automatically, if you like, or spontaneously give rise to Prema Bhakti. Even in a person who's not qualified. In the Rupa Goswami says, even in a person who doesn't have faith in them, right? Those five activities give rise to Prema Bhakti. So we're not qualified, we might not even have faith in the process, but those activities automatically elevate us, or have the potency to elevate us to the topmost level of devotional service. Right? Which is why we like kirtan, or we like to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. It gives rise automatically to prem. Isn't that amazing? And we don't even have to have faith in those activities, or we don't even have to understand them fully. They still have the potency to give us prema. Pretty amazing when you think about it. Worshipping the deities. You know, when we come before the Radha Balabha and Gaunitaya and Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, they're talking to us all the time, right? What are they saying? It would be a different message for each one of us. Same theme. Different, you know, nuance for each one of us. So, you know, extremely powerful. But interesting, Prabhupada, you know, considered the deity worship elementary for our advancement in devotional service. Ladies and gentlemen, that's... Yeah. Right, yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah, to be civilized. And you know, deity worship, for me, it was so many experiences a kind of a softer side to Krishna consciousness, you know, because we're out on the streets and, you know, basically fighting with the Kamis, not physically fighting, but, you know, it's a battle. And then to come and bathe the deities and to dress them and, you know, just learning how to use cloth and all of those, you know, they're kind of, they're arts. They're part of the 64 arts that Krishna learnt, right? So it kind of adds a more sophisticated it's a softer kind of devotional service to, you know, having to bat, huh? Sobering, yeah, certainly sobering, but also just working with cloth and jewellery and, you know, it's more feminine, I would say, side of life, right? Hairdressing. Krishna learned how to be a hairdresser, right? When he was learning the 64 arts, was it 64? In 64 days, wasn't it? When he went to Sandipani Muni's ashram, one of the arts that he learnt was hairdressing. Huh? Amongst others, you know, so many things he learnt. The art of using fragrances. You know, we learn all of the different types of fragrances that use, some for winter, some are cooling, warming for winter time, cooling for summer. Just learning of all these different fragrances. As a devotee, we learn so many, you know, extra, more kind of subtle arts. You know, when I was a kid, we were looking at motor cars. You know, oh, there's an EH with a 186 motor in it. Ooh, wow. Huh? In fact, actually, I was walking on my Japa walk, walking past Bhakta Bhavan, and there was three boys in Little Pay Street, and one of them had just bought a new Holden Ute, right? And they were talking about the wheels. Oh, yeah, I love the wheels on it, mate. Really good. So this is the kind of stuff that we were brought up with. I remember when the new Holden came out in 1972, and I really liked it, so I had all these posters up on my wall of the new Holden. I look at it now, and I think, God, that thing looks like a cardboard box. You know, it's disgusting. But anyway, we learn how to dress the deities and just so many, they're softer, they're not so gross. So that deepens our our devotion, and that deepening of the of devotion deepens our personality and deepens our character. Okay. Who's going out on book distribution? Anybody here? Yeah. I guess all of the book distributors have gone then, huh? All right, okay. Whoa. That's pretty good, actually. Veer Chandra. Yeah. He's Paya. Are you going today, Paya? When are you going? 3 o'clock, okay. Did a few books. I'm just checking to see if everybody's getting the right amount for their books. Looks like it's okay. One person here, 57%, 67%, that's not so good. We want to try to get double the BBT price for the books. You know what that means? That's 100% profit. You know, some people think, oh, just management, you know, mundane. That's spiritual. There's a spiritual activity. Check, you know, Prabhupada kept an eye on his bank balances. We can't say, oh, Prabhupada was just interested in money. He was interested in money, but it's Krishna's money. So these are Krishna's books, and we've got to make sure that we get good profit from selling his books. So when we designed this program that keeps track of the scores, right, there's all the scores, it also keeps track of how much money you collected so that we can make sure that we're not losing money. All right, thank you. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.